The Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis. It's chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, which is on page 2 and 3 of your pew Bibles. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die. For God knows, when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons."
Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be reading from chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 11, and is found on page 837 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will give His angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, You shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us might be familiar with the legend of Faustus, Dr. Faustus. According to the legend, Faustus was a scholar who sells his soul to the devil so that he might be able to obtain power and knowledge. Even though it is a legend, many people believe that there was an actual character by the name of Faust or Faustus in which this legend derives. And even the great reformist Melanchthon, who was a contemporary of Luther, said that Dr. Faustus was in fact strangled by the devil after the pact that him and the devil made came due. We live in a world where people make all kinds of pacts with the devil. Maybe not the character with red tights and horns, but the devil's handiwork is all around us. There are people who make pacts and who sell their souls for all kinds of reasons. People who sell their souls for money. People who sell their souls for sex. People who sell their souls for lots of different things. I don't usually talk about the devil, in part because I am a minister of word and sacrament, and as a minister of word and sacrament, I've been ordained to talk about God. And since I only have a few moments on a Sunday morning to do that, I usually try not to talk about the devil, but to reserve all my time to talk about God. And anyway, the devil gets a lot of free press. All you have to do is read the paper or to watch the television, and you see the handiwork of the devil all around us. Sometimes we have this tendency in some churches to talk more about the devil than we talk about God. I remember once being in a church in Atlanta where people were constantly rebuking the devil. Everything that went wrong, they would say, "Satan, I rebuke you." And I remember thinking to myself, if you spent more time praising God instead of rebuking the devil, maybe things wouldn't be so bad. But we certainly live in a world where evil and all that goes with it is quite in evidence in our world. This Sunday, I want to talk a little bit about the devil because today is the first Sunday in Lent. And during the first Sunday in Lent, we usually read the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And whatever you want to say about the devil or not say about him, he is a master tempter. He knows how to tempt better than anyone. He's been doing it for a long time. It goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. You would think that if anyone was immune from the power of temptation, it would be our first parents, Adam and Eve. God created them. God made them in God's image. God placed them in the garden of paradise. God gave them everything that they could possibly want. God gave them dominion over the world. God said, "Just one thing I'll ask of you, whatever you do, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will surely die." And I would think that that would be simple enough for people who had everything, that they could certainly stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then along comes the devil in the form of the serpent. And the devil knows that the one thing that we often long for is the very things that we often cannot have. And so he dangles the fruit over the heads of Adam and Eve, and he begins his plan of seduction. And the basis of the plan is essentially this: you cannot trust God. That's what the serpent, the devil, tells them. You cannot trust God. God might be a nice guy who has set you up in this wonderful garden, but God is not leveling with you. God is not telling you the truth. God knows that if you eat this fruit, you will not die, but your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. No more vulnerability, no more dependency, no more ignorance, no more having to trust God. You will be like God. And so our first parents fell for it. And we human beings have been fallen ever since. There's an old-fashioned word for it. It's called sin. And what it actually means is a breach of relationship. A breach of relationship with God and a breach of our relationship with one another. And that is what happens to Adam and Eve upon taking the fruit. Their relationship with God becomes damaged. They hear God coming in the cool of the day, and they are afraid. They hide from God because they are afraid and ashamed. And their relationship with one another has been damaged. God asks them what happens, and Adam immediately blames Eve, and Eve blames the serpent, and before it's all over, the whole world has been cursed. But the biggest tragedy of all is the tragedy of death. God tells them that now they will surely die. You are dust, he tells them, and to dust you will return. This is our story. It is the human story. It is the story of life lived under the power of death. It is the story that begins in paradise but ends in dust. It is a story that begins with abundant life but ends in death. It is a story of human beings made in the image of God but who have had that image defaced in their lives because we wanted something more. We didn't just want to be made in the image of God, but we wanted to be God. We wanted to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We want to put ourselves at the center of existence. We want to listen to voices other than the voice of God. And the end result is that we find ourselves naked and vulnerable and afraid in a world that is filled with evil and wickedness, all because we cannot say no to the devil. We want to do things our way, and so we are readily tempted by the devil. We don't want to place our lives in the hands of God, and so the devil easily lures us away. And so we wonder this morning for us human beings whose lives are limited. We wonder this morning for us human beings who cannot resist temptation. We wonder this morning, is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us weak, frail human beings who live under the power of death? And the good news this morning is, yes, there is hope. The good news this morning is that even though through one man, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of the Romans, even though through one man death has entered the world and many die, it is also through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace has entered into the world, and that we all have the possibility of renewed life, redeemed life, life lived in the glory of God. And so this morning we fast forward a bit. We fast forward from the beginning of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament. We fast forward to a whole new story, a story that begins not in the Garden of Paradise, but in a desert, a wilderness, a sparse place. It is the place where the Holy Spirit has led Jesus to immediately after his baptism, where he heard it affirmed loud and clear that he is the beloved Son of God. But now he has been led into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and for 40 nights. He is there fasting and praying. And it's in that fast and in that pray that the devil comes to him. And remember, the devil is a master tempter. He knows how to do it better than anyone. And so we can just imagine the devil coming across Jesus in the desert. Jesus is famished. He's hungry. He's been fasting. And the devil speaks to him, "Hey, aren't you Yes, of course you are. You're the Son of God. Isn't that what was said at your baptism? You are the very Son of God, and you must be famished out here in the desert. You must be hungry, and I would offer you a piece of forbidden fruit, but since you are the Son of God, why don't you use your power to turn these stones into bread? And Jesus answered him, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I will not use my power to turn these stones into bread because I trust in God. And my overwhelming desire is to please God." Yes, we can imagine the devil saying, "Yes, yes, I know that. I know you know Scripture. I know Scripture too, but let me show you something. Let me take you to the top of the pinnacle. Let me show you all of these kingdoms. They all belong to me, and if you are here to save the world, you are here to save the world, aren't you? If you're here to save the world, you're going to need some power. You're going to need some kingdoms. You're going to need some political power. You're going to need some economic power. You're going to need power if you're going to save the world. And it can all be yours. It can all be yours, Jesus. All you have to do is worship me." And Jesus again reminds the devil that it is God and only God that is to be worshipped. And then the devil tries his final ploy. He takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and he tells Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. If you're going to be the Son of God, you have to understand that you got to reach people where you can reach them. People have to be razzled and dazzled. They have to be appealed to. You have to entertain them. You have to do something fantastic. So why don't you just throw yourself off of the temple and allow God's angels to save you if you are the Son of God? Use your power to do that. And Jesus again reminds the devil that God is not to be tempted. And we can understand what the devil is asking Jesus to do. He understands that Jesus is the Son of God, and he just wants Jesus to act like the Son of God. You are the Son of God. Go ahead and act like it. Do what only God can do. Don't stay here in the desert hungry. Don't stay here in the desert famished. Don't stay here in the desert without any power. Go out into the world, get you some power and some influence. Go out into the world, learn how to influence and win people. Go out and do what God would do. The heart of the devil's appeal, of course, is the same thing that it was to Adam and Eve. It is to sow mistrust. That's what the devil is essentially telling Jesus. You can't really trust God. You can't really trust God with your life. You can't really trust God to take care of you. You can't really trust God to protect you. You can't trust God's way of doing things. You can't really trust God, and so you have to take matters into your own hands, Jesus. You have to do it your way and not God's way. The devil knows his scripture. He also knows that the more you trust God, the less susceptible to temptation that you are going to be. And the less trust you have in God, the more likely you are to yield to temptation. And so the devil wants to sow that mistrust even in the heart and mind of Jesus. And yet Jesus is able to rebuff the devil's attempt to lead him astray, in part because Jesus knows who he is. He knows that he is the Son of God. He heard that loud and clear at his baptism. But most importantly, he knows who God is. He knows that God is someone that he can trust. It's something that he learned, no doubt, through prayer and the study of Scripture. He knows that human beings do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He knows that God is a God that should not be tested but obeyed. And he knows that our worship and devotion belong only to God. Jesus knows all of these things, and so it's in obedience that he follows the way of God, which is the way of the cross. And it's in Jesus' obedience that the forces and powers of death are overcome on the cross. The forces and powers of death that we all have lived under, the forces and powers of death bought to us by our first parents, Adam and Eve, those powers of death have now been broken in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus was obedient and listened to God, and he was obedient all the way to the cross. And it's because of his willingness to give his life on the cross that the forces and powers of death have been broken. This Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And Lent is that 40-day journey that we make with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross. And during the season of Lent, we are asked to be honest with ourselves. We are asked to look deep down inside of our hearts and consider all the deals that we have made with the devil. During the season of Lent, we are asked to say yes to God and no to the devil. And to say yes to God means to trust God with our lives. It means to be obedient to God. It means to follow the way of God, which is the way of the cross, which is the way of self-giving love. To follow the way of Jesus, the way of the cross, is to let go of our lives and be willing to be vulnerable. It is to let go of our lives and be willing to serve others. It is to let go of our lives and to know that our lives is in God's hands. There are a good many voices out there speaking to us. We've all been tempted. And whenever we hear those voices that call us away from ourselves, those voices that call us to serve others, those voices that call us to open ourselves up and to be vulnerable to others, to place our lives in God's hands, we can be sure that that voice is the voice of God. But whenever we hear those voices that flatter us, those voices that call us away from one another, those voices that tell us that we shouldn't be responsible for one another or care for one another, we can be sure that that voice is the voice of the tempter. We are called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that means saying no to the devil. But the devil is a master tempter. He can do that better than anyone. He knows exactly what to say to us. He waits for an opportune time when we are in the wilderness. And our wilderness could be anything. It could be a period of sickness when we're in a hospital. It can be a period of unemployment when we're not sure what the future is going to be. It can be a period of family strife. It can be a period when we are put in a new setting. It can be almost anything, but it's usually during those wilderness periods where the devil will come to us and he will speak to us and he will tell us that we cannot trust God. You cannot trust God with your life. You cannot trust God with your resources. You cannot trust God with your time. You cannot trust God to take care of you. If you share what you have with your neighbor, you have to save that money for yourself. You cannot trust God if you open up yourself and ask for forgiveness to your neighbor because your neighbor might turn against you. You cannot trust God at all with your life. So take care of yourself. Reinforce your life. Go out and grab for all that you can get. Take care of only yourself. Be God to yourself. Act like a God to yourself. Because you can't trust God. That's what he will say to us in our deepest and most vulnerable moments. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know what to say to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, because God is indeed the source of our lives. Get behind me, because we do trust God with our lives. Get behind me, because God has never failed or let us down. Get behind me, because God is the only one who is to be worshiped. Get behind me, because the voice of God is the only voice that we should listen to. God is a God who can be trusted. God is a God that we can follow. God is the God that we are called to be obedient to. God is a God that we can open up our hearts to. God is a God that we can love with all of our hearts and minds and soul and be encouraged to love our neighbor as well. That's the God that we are called to follow during this season of Lent. The choice before us is clear, as it is always clear. Who will you serve? Will you serve God, or will you serve the devil? Will you open your life to the way of the Lord, or will you open your life to the temptations of the world? Will you choose to journey with Jesus on his way to the cross, which is the only way that we can fortify and save our lives? Or will we seek to save our lives by giving our lives over to the things that we believe can save us? Who do you trust your life with? The gospel story tells us to give our lives to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't sell your soul to the devil. Don't sell your heart to the one who cares nothing for it. Don't give your life over to the Satan. Give your life over to the author of life. The one who can make your life blossom. The one who gives you peace. The one who gives you all that you need as we seek to be children of God. We have heard our own identities at our own baptisms. We have heard that we too are children of God. We have heard that we are the beloved people of God. But at our baptisms, we are reminded that to be God's children does not mean we will not be tempted. Oftentimes, temptation comes at that very moment when we have dedicated our life to God. Temptation comes at that very moment when we are spiritually strongest. Oftentimes we believe that when we give our lives over to God, that it means that life will be a bowl of cherries and nothing will go wrong. But oftentimes it's when we give our lives over to God that we can expect all hell to break loose. The devil knows that his time is short. The devil knows that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have real life. So he does everything that he can to turn us against the source of our lives. But Lent reminds us that we are called to say no to this world, to say no to the powers of this world, to say no to all the false idols and false hopes of this world, and to say yes to God. And so as we continue our journey throughout this Lenten season, as we continue to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross, as we continue to walk with him as he feeds the hungry, as we continue to walk with him as he heals the sick, as we continue to walk with him as he reaches out to us and says, "Follow me," let us find within our hearts the courage to say yes to him, to say yes to his voice, and no to all of those other voices that are calling our names. Friends, learn to have life and life in abundance by giving your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to follow you, and you have called us to do that in a world beset with all kinds of false hopes, hopes that tempt us away from you. Sometimes it is the hope of making more money. Sometimes it is the hope of living in a nicer neighborhood or a nicer house or driving a nicer car. Sometimes it is the hope of companionship with others. But you reminded us that any time we give ourselves over to those false idols of the world that take us away from our true selves, which can only be found in you, that it is a journey away from life and towards the power of death. Help us, Lord, to break the power of death in our lives. Help us to know that in you we have our freedom. Help us to follow you, to say yes to you, and to say no to all the demonic forces in the world that seek to turn us astray. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.